Talking about keep the faith. I want to encourage you this morning with this. We may not see things working the way we're planning on them working. We may not see God moving in the way we want Him to move. But it doesn't mean He is not working, and it doesn't mean He is not moving. There are things happening in the supernatural realm, in the spiritual realm, that we don't always see. And so that's why it's called faith. Faith cannot be measured by what we see, by what we hear, by our current circumstance, by our past failures, or by our future doubts. Faith cannot be measured that way. Faith must be measured by what it is, trusting and believing in God and His Word, period, regardless of what we see. I've learned through my life that sometimes things I pray for, things that I want, or ways I expect God to move isn't the way He's moving for me. He's moving in a much different way, but a much greater way, because God is working for me, so to speak. The Bible says that in Romans that all things work out for good to them who love the Lord, who are called according to His purpose. So I may not see things the way that I want to see them. And so many folks give up. Well, I'm battling my faith and I'm fighting believing or not believing because I've prayed and nothing's changed. And I'm trying to live right and nothing's happened. I'm doing this and things are always the same. Faith is a continual journey and a constant process. Faith isn't one day on and one day off. Faith is every day, every minute, every moment, every breath. We live that, we exercise that, and we walk in that. Either you believe or you don't believe. Give you an example. You know, I hear people all the time talk about, you know, the Panthers came in the league in 1995, I believe, 95. And, you know, I was a Redskins fan before that. Well, when Charlotte came, I want to support the home team. Man, we had a football team. That's exciting, you know. So, yeah, I jumped ship and pulled for the Panthers. Well, you got some folks that didn't, that'll never change. I saw a bumper sticker yesterday behind a car. It said, Steelers fan forever. 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 I mean, if they went 0-16 for 20 years, I guess they would still be a Steelers fan forever. Bill shows great faith. You know who's Bill's, you know who's Bill's football team is? Are you talking about faith? Detroit Lions. I mean, Bill has kept the faith, I'm telling you. They've not made the playoff. Well, they did, I think, 1 year, a few years ago. And then before that, it was like, a 20-year drought. I don't know. But, I mean, my God, the Lions? Oh, my. You're talking about some faith. And Bill still pulls for him. He came to my house one day, had a Lion shirt on. I didn't know they still made those. They had a Lion shirt. Cool. Keeping the faith. See, church, spiritually, sometimes we just give up so easily because things aren't working out the way we want, so we just give up. Don't give up. Look what Hebrews 1 says. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith is what we expect to happen without having to see it happen. Faith is believing God's word without always having to see God's word. And that's a hard concept because we are so scientifically minded that if we don't see it in black and white, it must not be. But how can we say that when we look at creation? We're going to read here in a minute in Hebrews where God created something out of nothing. There was no sun that was already there. There was no parts to form the sun and moon and seas with. God was the original blueprint. God was the original architect and the engineer. God created those things out of nothing. There wasn't already wood and nails and lumber on the earth. God created the wood, lumber, and nails. God created those things. Faith is something that we have to live by whether we see it or not. Verse 3. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by God. Framed by God. That we, by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made by things which do appear. So by faith we believe that. Now we know our schools teach evolution, our college or evolution and how things happen, you know, scientifically, and I'm all about science and I believe in science because guess what? God is science. God is science. God is the doctor. God is all things. And so I absolutely believe that there was a moment of creation, Genesis 1 tells us that the earth was void and dark without form. So this tells me this, that the earth's been here a long time as far as our planet, but there was no life as we know it now. But one day God spoke. It was void and dark till God spoke. And God did speak. And things did change. And there was an explosion. There was a spiritual and a physical explosion that created all the things that we see. It wasn't just by random chance things fell in place the way they are. It was a perfectly designed plan by God to give us that. And so we are the, as we know, the third planet from the sun. We are the only planet in our solar system that can sustain life. That's not by accident that we just all landed here. There's nobody on Mars. I don't care what you sci-fi freaks think. There's nobody living on Mars. There's nobody on Venus. There's nobody on Jupiter. There's nobody on Mercury. It can't sustain any kind of human life. We're the only planet because closer, of course, we burn, further we freeze. We're the only one. That's not by accident. It's not by accident that how our earth rotates. I mean, have you ever thought how the sun never fails to set or rise every single day like clockwork? Even the tides. This one amazes me. You go to the beach, they have tide charts. They can tell you exactly high tide and low tide. I mean, to the minute, high tide, 3:22. How do they know that? Because God's just that perfect. And it's designed that way because God's in charge of that. Move on to verse whatever we're on. 5. By faith, Enoch was taken. I love the story of Enoch. Enoch was taken that he should not see death and was not found. He wasn't found because he wasn't there anymore. Because God translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Now, we're going to read the word please here later on in the verse, in the chapter. Please doesn't mean what we think it means. Well, I got to please God. I got to make God happy. Pleasing means that he accepted God, understood his word, believed in God, and trusted in God. He was accepted by God because he believed in God. And Enoch, by that faith and that testimony, did not see death. Wouldn't that be great, church? Just to be walking around? You're at Walmart pushing your buggy, and all of a sudden, woo, the Lord just translates. That is awesome. Enoch did not see death. They went looking for him and couldn't find him. He wasn't on the earth no more. He didn't go missing. There was no amber alert, no gray alert, silver alert. None of that happened. He just was translated by faith, by his testimony. Faith isn't always seen every single day the way we want to see it. How many times have you been praying for a lost child, a lost spouse, a spouse to come to church with you, a financial breakthrough, your bills to be, whatever it is, and you pray and you don't see it, and you pray and you don't see it. But what we have to do is trust him. There are two components in our faith, church, that we need to accept. Two components that make up our faith. One, we must believe in the messenger. Number one, being God. We must believe in the messenger. Number two, we must believe in the message that he's declaring. This is what keeps our faith kindled. If you don't believe in the messenger or the message, you can't walk in faith. Just like a couple coming together. If you don't have trust one with another, you don't have faith in one another, there is no relationship. It can't be one-sided. A marriage, both spouses have to have faith and trust in each other or it doesn't work. So the message and the messenger are vital in our faith. Either you believe God or you don't. And you believe in his word or you don't. Or do we just believe in God when he does his magic tricks for us? Or do we just believe in God when the message fits our agenda? Or do we believe God when things are really rotten and when things are really down and when we're in the pit? Do we still? That's what I loved about David. King David was in a pit a lot. David had a lot of problems, a lot of struggles. And he was always surrounded by enemies. He was always under attack. He had so many problems. But as you read David's testimonies, what did David always do? He always declared the goodness, the mercy of the Lord. He always knew who his messenger was and what the message said. At one place he said, Lord, restore to me the joy of my salvation. Recognizing that the message was still relevant for his life, he just needed some encouragement. He never failed to recognize that. David always knew in the miry pit, he called on God. He never blamed God. He took personal responsibility, recognizing his own failures and sins, but realized the mercy of God was more powerful than his personal sin, and that God could pull him up. David's a great testament of keeping the faith. Next scripture, Brandon. Without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Two things the Bible's telling us. We got to believe in God, number one. I mean, we see a lot of people don't believe in God, so they don't benefit from God. They don't believe in him. You've got to believe in who you're serving. You've got to believe in who you're walking with. You've got, church, if the world could follow God like they do the Pittsburgh Steelers, I'm going to tell you something. I wish the church traveled like the Steelers travel, so to speak. I mean, there are folks who don't miss a game. And they'll pay big money to go there, and they'll wave their terrible towels, and they'll paint themselves black and gold, and they'll scream, and they'll holler, and they'll yell, and they'll have a good time. And they won't miss nothing because, man, they're part of what they call Stiller Nation. We're part of God's nation. Church, we should have that same zeal and fire to serve the living God through good and through bad. It's amazing how when our team loses, well, they'll bounce back next week. But if we're like, God failed us, oh, well, I'm just ready to give up. Isn't that strange how we do that? Remember, God's not a magic genie. God wants us to serve him, believing he is God and believing in the message. And sometimes the message doesn't always go with what we're going through. We think, well, why ain't God delivered me? Why ain't God set me free? God is working things out behind the scenes that you don't see that makes things happen. You know, at Disney World, they have a whole underground world at Disney World, where all the cast members and the employees and all, they go underground, they do all their stuff down there. The public never sees that. So before the magic happens on top, the magic happens underneath. It all starts there and then comes out. And so when you're walking in Disney World, there's a whole world under you, like a New York substation that you don't even see. And things are happening down there. People are changing their costumes and they're down there doing, you know, punching in and taking their smoke break, whatever they're doing. But they're down there and they're doing all this stuff. And you never see that. All you see is the magic. Well, the magic happened to you because the magic happened first down there. And that's how it started. So they're doing all this work behind the scenes you don't know about to make your day a magical day. God is doing all these things behind the scenes sometimes to make our day a magical day. We just can't see it yet. So you hang on. You keep believing. God's not finished with his plan yet. By faith, Noah, divinely warned by God of things not of yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of the house, by the which he condemned the world, became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. Now think about this story. Noah had to move before he saw anything. Understand, they didn't know what rain was. I mean, they didn't understand what rain was. And God warned Noah, I'm going to flood the earth with water. Man's got 120 days to think about this thing. And so Noah began to work. Begin to build this huge boat as all of his friends, neighbors, whoever came by, laughing at him, mocking him. What are you doing? It's going to flood. Really? The earth's going to flood? But he kept on task. He didn't see the rain cloud. He didn't feel the water coming down. He simply went by the messenger and the message that was given to him. God said, build an ark. And Noah built an ark. And we know how that turned out. The waters did come. The skies did open. And for you scientific statisticians, people that think this is a fictitious story, there have been proven artifacts, archaeology. Thank you very much, Marjorie. Facts that have proven that this happened. Proven that there was this ark. Proven there was a great vast flood in that region of the earth. It's been proven, even by scientists who disapprove. It's been proven. And so this has happened. The floods did come, and Noah did save his house. What if Noah had been like us? He worked hard for the first 10 days. Man, I don't see nothing yet. Been 10 days. I mean, Pastor, you don't understand. I've been praying for 2 weeks for breakthrough. Okay, 2 weeks. All right. Let's pray for 2 years. Let's pray for 12 years. Let's pray for 20 years. Keep on keeping the faith. Because God's timing is not our timing. Understand, God is preparing things we can't see. God's working on both ends at the same time. God's working on the prayer we're requesting. He's working on the other end to bring that to fruition. But it has to come together in God's time. So Noah's building that ark. He's going at it hard and fast and furious. Thank God he didn't give up. Thank God he didn't let people talk him out of that. But he kept on task because he was following the messenger and the message. The flood did come, and of course Noah saved his family. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should receive all inheritance, obeyed and went out, not knowing whether he went. Remember this story. God called Abraham out. Leave your family. Leave your country. Go to this place. Where am I going? I'll show you. He just stepped out, went out by faith, and went to a place of unknownness. Didn't know where he's going. How many of us have to have an exact plan? I would move for God if he showed me what to do. Well, if he just says, do it, just do it. He ain't got to show you every detailed plan. Just take one step at a time and trust God. One door, one step, one opportunity at a time, and God will keep unveiling his plan as you go along. He doesn't normally show us the whole picture at one time. God didn't show me when he called me to start a ministry. He never showed me. I didn't know this land existed, didn't know this building existed, didn't know y'all existed. I mean, some of you I did, but a lot of you I didn't. Didn't know you existed, didn't know anything. I just began to take one step at a time, trusting him, one step at a time, and each step yielded another result. Each step yield another harvest. But see, it's a walk of faith. You know how many times I've been discouraged? I mean, Melanie used to scold me so bad in the early years of the ministry. And I don't do this anymore. I still do it, but it's not quite as drastic. But man, I used to get so upset if people weren't in the church. I'd be like, man, you know, look who's not here and why were that? And Melanie said, James, I'm so tired of hearing that. Quit looking at who's not here. Look at who is here. Preach to them and more will come. Yes, ma'am. Straighten me out. Because the devil, and I'm going to tell you, if you've ever preached or ever taught, I know Don teaches classes sometimes, different things, and we have other ministers in here. It is very discouraging to a speaker to look out and the seats be empty. I don't care who you are, how much faith you got. That's discouraging. And I would have people like, I think George Annis said it so sweet, trying to encourage me. The seats may be empty, Pastor, but there's angels in all them seats. Thank you, Georgie. I'll picture that in my mind. There's angels all about us listening. So encouraging. It is discouraging. You know, but you got to keep the faith. You wonder many times, are you making a difference? As Rodney was saying, how each of us are called to sow a seed and make a difference. Is what I'm doing making a difference? Is my little seed of faith, whether it's a financial gift or serving in the church or anything I do, is it making any change in anyone's life? I'm here to tell you, yes, it is. Absolutely, yes, it is. There is no seed sown for God that doesn't come back fruitful. Every seed comes back fruitful. The Bible says that your labor of love is not in vain. So understand that every seed is important. So Abraham didn't know where he was going, but he went. By faith, he just took off, left what he knew, went on. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise, in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with whom of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Isn't that what we're looking for, church? A foundation, a place whose builder and maker is God, not man. We're looking for a higher place, a different rim. And we know that that's out there. And our faith should motivate us that there is more than what we see in this earth. Just as there is a physical earth we can touch, there is just as real a spiritual rim that we can't see into. We can see parts of it, but we can't really see in the spiritual rim what's happening around us. But there are spirits all around us. And there's a whole spiritual world that's happening that we just can't see with these eyes, but it's there. And our desire, you know, as you get older, I didn't understand as a young man, but I understand it more as I get older. You know, I used to hear old folks talk about, you know, I'm just ready to go home. I'm ready to cross the Jordan. You know, when you're in your 20s, 30s, you know, you're like, across Jordan? Are you kidding me? I want to be in Lake Norman swimming and riding my boat. You want to cross Jordan? Man, I want to live. You want to die? I want to live. You know what happens to old people? Excuse me. You know what happens to people of age? Is as they become older, something happens. It's kind of like how, let's quit with this, how the bears and the snakes begin to hibernate in a certain season. They go into a safe place. It's almost as we age, we begin to recognize and realize that we don't belong here anymore, and there's another place calling us. There's a place that we are to hibernate into that's different than where we're at now. And I see that with so many people as they get older, even in good health, not dying, just good health people. you know, I'm just homesick, you know, that song, I'm homesick, or Beulah Land that Dee sings. We long for that country because as we get older, we are getting to the point that it's our time and God prepares us for that time. Of course, you're 25. Nobody really wants to die. Not if you got your sound mind. Nobody wants to die. But when you start hitting 70, 75, you start thinking a little differently about, you know, I've lived probably most of my life on the earth without a miracle. And I'm ready to go on, especially when you start by having pains and you start suffering a little bit. You're like, I'm homesick. I saw Uncle Gail back here one day on Facebook put something about that, and I seen a comment that says, oh, no, don't say that, because he was talking about homesick or something about another country and, you know, ready, you know, just as you get older, you just, God begins to give you that desire for that country, because you know why that desire is there? Because that country is there. Think about that. Why would there be that desire to want to enter in if there wasn't nothing to enter into? It's there, church. That kingdom of God is waiting on us. Verse 11. Through faith, Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age because she judged him faithful who had promised. What does Sarah believe in? The messenger and the message. She believed in the God that told her that at 99 years old, she's going to have a youngin'. Can y'all imagine that? I mean, grandma is our most senior citizen, I guess, here this morning. We won't reveal her age. But what if the angel came to grandma? I'm going to open your womb and you will conceive a child. Them girls will be out. Them girls. They ain't getting my inheritance. I just play it. Them girls will be like, are you serious? She's having a child? But you know what? Abraham prayed for that. He wanted his own seed. And God honored that. And Abraham had to wait 20, 22 years, something like that, 25 years before this child came. It wasn't like, you know, he spoke to Sarah, you have a child, okay? Well, it's been a year, God, 2 years, 3 years, 4 years. Clock's ticking, getting older, can't hardly walk, a little more wrinkled. Teeth got to come in and out. Hello, God, when you going to move? I got my bifocals, God, I'm getting old. Year after year after year went by. But they held on to that promise. Because as long as there was breath in their bodies, there was hope in the promise. And sure enough, Sarah, Abraham, 100 years old, he was the man. Woo, 100 years old, having a youngin'. Think about the bragging rights he had around town. I mean, can you imagine? I mean, think about that. Uncle Gail's walking downtown Statesville. Yeah, man, have me a boy. You did what? Did you adopt? No, he's mine. Just had a kid. Man, what kind of vitamins you taking? You are the man. Abraham, 100 years old, God had turned back the clock and restored him because he promised it, and they believed in the messenger and the message. That's important in our walk of faith. Therefore, seeing there even of one and him as good as dead, so many as the stars, the sky, in multitude, and the sand which is by the seashore numbered. He multiplied Abraham's seed like he said he would, and the kingdom of God out of that. Look at verse 13. This is interesting. They all died in faith. In faith. They all died believing, but not having received the promise, but having seen it afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and considered that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. This is a very important verse. Sounds kind of negative at first, right? Well, they all died, not receiving the promise. Well, there's your message, Pastor. They died. Here's the key to this. They believed in the promise of a coming Messiah. They believed in the promise that their sins would be remembered no more. They held on to the promise that there was a place above this earthly rim that God would prepare for them. They didn't see that come to pass in their lifetime, but as we know, it did. Isaiah's prophecy was fulfilled 600 years later in Christ. Zechariah's prophecy was fulfilled in Christ. They didn't give up because they didn't see the promise. They died in the faith. They kept the faith to the end, believing there was a place and a country waiting on them. Now, here's the key. What if they hadn't kept the faith? Think how important keeping the faith was to these Old Testament prophets. The same blood of Jesus that saved us had to save them. So as they died in that faith, guess what? That blood then of Christ was poured upon them because their sins too had to be forgiven. And so it went back even to Old Testament prophets where that blood of Jesus covered their sins. And that promise was fulfilled in the Old Testament saints because they, when the blood of Jesus was spilled, it covered their lives and they were granted entrance into the kingdom of God just like we are today. Because the Bible says without the remission of blood, there's no remission of sin. So that blood was shed for them and they died in the faith believing that. Aren't you glad they died in the faith believing that? Because the Bible says that when Jesus gave up the ghost, the graves were opened and they came out. You know what happened? The promise was realized. But they died believing that promise. What if they gave up? Church, what? How many times do we give up right before God's about to do a breakthrough? We're right there at the threshold. Think about men and women that lived their lives. And what if you lived your life for God? You gave your heart to Jesus, you believed in him, and then later in your life, you said, you know what, I don't believe in him. I deny Jesus Christ. He is not God. He is false. You've lost the promise of what you had because you didn't keep the faith. You didn't walk in your faith to the end believing there is a country waiting on you. Moses and Abraham, think of, they were men just like us. Sarah, women just like you. They, at that time, thousands of years ago, believed there was more than what they were in. You know, every culture believes that. Every culture, every language, every tribe, every sect of people believes there's something more than this earth. You know why? Because there is. And every human has that inside of them to remind them of that. For some, they believe it's different. I know in Hinduism, many of them teach reincarnation. They believe that how you live your life, you come back as a better thing or a better person or a better position. But they believe that there's something better. Every single religious teaching or people of every tribe believe there is more than what they see on the earth. There's some kind of higher dimension. The Native American Indians, though they didn't understand Jesus Christ, believed in the wind god and the sun god, and they call it the Great Spirit. My brave died. He's going to the Great Spirit. They called it something good hunting ground or something, what they called their heaven. But they believed there was something higher than what, because God puts that desire, because you know what? We were created for more than this. Church, we don't fit in this. It's kind of like when David tried to put on Saul's armor and the armor didn't fit. The earth doesn't really fit the creation of God, but we have to be clothed with it temporarily because of sin. Because of the fall of man, we have now been clothed with this earthly, decaying, sinful nature. But there's a higher place. Keep the faith, believe the message, and believe the messenger, and you will see that higher place realized in your life, and the shedding of all this earthly will shed away, and we will embrace this heavenly home God's got waiting on us. I believe that, church. I believe it. I believe it that we will see that place. That's what Christ come to do. Verse 14. For they also say things which declare plainly that they seek a country, just like we do. But now they desire a better country. That is an heavenly, whereto God is not ashamed to be called their God, and hath prepared them for a city. By faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he had received the promises, offered up his only begotten son. Think about how that would be, church. To offer your son. God speaks to Bill and says, offer David unto me. And he has to carry that little boy to the place of worship. And David looks at Daddy and says, Daddy, says, you know, I see the wood and we got everything ready. Because they knew what sacrifice was. They was raised that way. But said, where's the lamb? Where's the lamb? And Bill has to look at his son and say, God will provide. That puts it real that Abraham's faith in the messenger and the message was stronger than the circumstance he had to face. That's faith. Many of us say, oh, I can never do that. You don't know what you would do if God spoke. Don't sell yourself short. If God, we don't know, church, how we react in that moment till God speaks to us. We know what happened with that story too. Go ahead, next one. He said, in Isaac your seed shall be called, concluding that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from which he also received him in a figurative sense. Abraham has so much faith, he realized even if he killed his son, God could raise him back. I got so much faith, God can restore my seed. You may have lost seed through your life, but don't give up on that seed. Don't think it's gone forever. God can restore that seed. God can bring things back into your life that have been lost for many, many years. Don't give up. Keep the faith. Stay strong in your faith. Go ahead, Brandon. 23. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they said he was a proper child and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. If you remember, they had a decree at that time to kill the male-born children, those young male-born, to kill them. But when Moses was born, his parents said, we're not going to obey that. We're going to hide our son. And by faith, trust God will take care of him. And they put him in a little basket, put him in a little river, and sent him away from the danger, trusting God. Once again, you mothers be like, I could never do that. You could if you thought your child was going to be dead. I guarantee you could. The choice of, okay, I got to be killed by the king, or I can put him by himself and hope somebody finds him that'll spare his life. By faith, his parents did that. By faith, believing in God and believing in the message. Verse 28. Through faith, he kept the Passover, the sprinkling of the blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith, they passed through the Red Sea and the dry land, which the Egyptians assaying to were drowned. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down, and they were compassed about 7 days. That story of Jericho is a powerful story, too. Sharon, that was you did that one time in your class, right? You walked the kids around the church doing Jericho. I remember one Sunday morning, I'm up here preaching, and I see kids going around the building. Like, what is going on? And Sharon's out there leading her children around the building doing the story of Jericho. God spoke. And the story of Jericho is pretty powerful. There was no weapons fired, church. There was no cannons blasted. God said, march around the city. And when I tell you to shout, you shout. And the walls will come down. And they begin to walk around. I'm sure the people were very creeped out about that. Why are they walking around our city? They're creeping me out a little bit. What's going on? And that last day they walked around 7 times and they shouted the glory of God. And the word of God, not the power of man, the word of God, by their obedience to the messenger and the message, the Bible says those walls, when they shouted, those fortified, built walls fell to the ground. And they walked into that city and took over because they obeyed God. Faith. It's not always seen today. Faith's not always seen tomorrow. But hang on to it and walk in it and believe it. Because you either believe God's word or you don't. You know, we always love quoting Romans. You know, all things work for good. The Lord, we like that. But then if things don't work out good, then we start questioning that, don't we? Well, I must not be living right. I must not be praying hard enough. I must not be giving up to church. I must not be doing this right. Or God just, you know, somebody the other day was talking and said, you know, I just always get dealt the wrong cards, and I don't have any breaks. And I'm like, you've had plenty of breaks. You've just not taken advantage of your breaks. You know, church, we no longer have the excuse of being a victim. Not with Christ. No longer. We may not have the house we want or the car we want, or we have to struggle from week to week. And there's things in our lives, we may have to have things we don't want to deal with, but we do deal with. But the point is this. Church, we had the victory. In the end, we all win as God's people. We win. The battle's won. We have this great country. In a few short years, even for me, I realize in a scan of eternity, it's a few short years. I was seeing something on Facebook the other day. It made me really think for my generation, my age. When I hear someone say, oh, it was 30 years ago, you know what year I go back to? The 70s. But you know what it is now? It's the 90s. Ain't that scary? 1990 now is 30 years ago. I mean, that's hard to believe because I've not I don't see myself as eight. I don't see myself. To me, 30 years ago, oh, yeah, back in the 70s, 30. Oh, no, that good Lord, that was more than 30 years ago. That's, yeah, 40, 45. Time keeps going. And before you know it, I mean, church, I'm at a point, I'm starting to count, I mean, not count down, but I'm really trying to think, how many more working years do I have? That's not good. I mean, you know, you start to, how many more working years do I have? I got to trying to save and get rid of all these youngins so I can have something for my in years. I'm like, man, really? I mean, even by the government standard, church, I'm down to like, you know, 20 years. That's sad. That ain't long. I know for Ashley, is she in here? 20 years is like, good Lord. Ashley told me one time, says, he's born in 71. Gosh, you're old. You know what I told her? Pawpaw's born in, oh, yeah, I know. And I went, Malky's born in. I mean, Malky's born before they had color TV and, you know, TV at all. Barely cars. So I don't feel so old. Say, so circle for 7 days. By faith, the harlot. We know what a harlot is. What's a harlot, somebody? Thank you, prostitute. A lady of the night. Or day, I guess. Depends on when you meet her. But a harlot. A bad woman, a prostitute. Look what happened to this harlot. She did not perish with those who did not believe. When she had received the spies with peace. Because you know what happened? That story, they sent spies to spy out the land of Canaan. And she took these spies in. And the king knew she's in her house, is going to destroy them. And she hid them and then sent them out, helped them escape from her place. She preserved the people of God. By faith, this harlot defied a king's order and her own life being threatened really by that to save these people of God. And now she's listed in Hebrews, this harlot, this lady of the night, is now listed as one of the heroes of faith. What more shall I say? The time will fall to me to tell of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, also David, Samuel, and all the prophets who through faith subdued kingdoms, worked righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, became valiant in battle, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead, raised to life again. Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, but they might obtain a better resurrection. Still others had trials of mockings and scourgings, chains and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn in two, they were tempted, they were slain with the sword, they wandered in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, and tormented. Of whom the world was not worthy, they wandered in deserts and mountains and dens and caves of the earth. And all these, having obtained a good testimony through faith, did not receive the promise. God having provided something better for us, that they should not be made perfect apart from us. This goes back to saying, the blood of the new covenant for us was the blood that they needed for them. And they died having the promise. I've said many times, and I believe this, you know, people have been saying that the Lord's going to come back for 2,000 years. It's been more than 30 or 40. It's been for every generation. You know, I remember hearing preachers back in the 70s and the 80s talk about, you know, the Lord's going to return in this generation, or the Lord could return tomorrow, and he could. Nobody knows that. But you know what? I know there'll be a generation just like Enoch that will be translated by the hand of God. The Bible says that there'll be those that are alive and remain that shall be changed. I would love to be a part of that generation. But you know what? If I'm not, and if I'm 80 years old in a hospital and I'm got my last breath going on, I know that God is going to honor his word of what it says in the book of Thessalonians. And I know that there will, whether it's my kids or my grandkids or whoever it is, that there will be a generation that will be changed by the hand of God. I will leave this earth in that faith of that, knowing that. That's what keeping our faith's all about, church. We don't even have to see it to believe it. We don't see air, but we sure believe that there's air we're breathing right now. There's things we don't see, but we know they are there. We know it. One more scripture I want to read in 2 Timothy. I know, are y'all a little bit cold? I'm sorry, y'all a little bit cold? Can you turn that air up, Melanie? I see a lot of folks shivering. The sanctuary gets hot so fast, so I try to keep it down because when people get in here, it gets hot. And when the preaching starts flying around, it gets really hot. 2 Timothy chapter 4. We hear this scripture at many funerals that we go to. We hear this scripture, but this is more than a funeral scripture. It's much more than a funeral scripture. Here's what Paul says. Now, Paul wrote this letter while he was in prison. He was about to be executed. He knew that. His time of execution was at hand. He was about to die. And the reason that he was in prison and the reason Paul was about to die was for one reason. He followed and taught Christ. He didn't break any laws. He just taught Christ. Paul said this, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Paul, church, I'm telling you, it's amazing how easy we give up. I mean, Paul was stoned over and over to death. He was ran out of every town he went to. He was put in prison. He was abused. He was mocked. He was talked about just for preaching Christ. But through it all, he kept the faith. And even while in prison, he's not writing to his lawyer, get me out of this. He's not writing, hey man, I didn't do it. He's not writing to a little mama, remember me, mama, when I'm gone. He's writing to us. He's writing the words of the Lord. And while he's in prison and facing execution, he says this, I've finished my race. I'm ready. I've kept the faith. I've kept it to the very end. I didn't give up. I didn't turn back. I didn't surrender, but I kept it. In the face of the enemy, I kept it. When I was thrown in jail, I kept it. When they beat me, I kept it. When they talked about me, I kept it. When the world said I was a Looney Tune, I kept the faith, and I didn't give up. God's wanting a people that persevere no matter what the media says or the world shifts to. I will keep the faith of the messenger and the message that God is true and so is his word. It will not be denied. It will come to pass, and all the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And the devil can't stop what God's already put in motion. It is a done deal. It will be finished. So don't give up. Church, we're going to have a day we cross in the glory of God. A day we see it and we're going to know, hallelujah, it's real, it's real. Hallelujah, God, it's real. Thank you for this kingdom being real. Finally, there is laid up for me, Paul says, a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day. Paul knew his destiny, but not just to Paul. Look what he says. He's still encouraging us, not to me only, but to all who have loved his appearing, to all who will see Jesus as I see Jesus, to all who receive Christ as I've received Christ, this same crown. And look what it says, crown of righteousness, which means right standing with God. And this righteousness was given to Paul because of his faith in the Lord. His faith. When Jesus asked the disciples, who do they say that I am? Some say you're Elijah. Some say you're Moses. Whoever. Some say you're... He said, Peter, who do you say that I am? He says, you are Jesus, the Son of the living God. He said, flesh and blood have not revealed this to you. On this rock will I build my church. The foundation church of our faith, the foundation of our faith is Christ, is the seed of Jesus coming into the world, born of a virgin, being breathed upon by the Holy Ghost and the womb of Mary. And this child grew, this child, all man, all God, the embodiment of God in the flesh. The Word became flesh. The Word in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And that Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And Paul preached that our redemption, our forgiveness, all relies in Christ. Go to my next slide. The two points here. You must believe in the messenger. We can have no faith if we don't believe in it. I mean, we don't use products we don't have faith in. There are some people that, you know, will buy certain products because they got faith in it. There are some folks. Let me give you an example. Who in here would never buy a Ford? Anybody? Three of them would never buy a Ford. Why wouldn't you buy a Ford? Huh? Bad experiences. He don't have faith in the product. So he's not going to probably make any Ford commercials. He doesn't have faith in the product. Do we really have faith in the product of Christ? Do we have faith in that? Do we really believe that God is for us, not against us? God is with us, not away from us? That God is fighting our battles even when we can't always see it? And even if we think we're losing the battle, church, maybe God is preparing us for a greater victory that we can't see. We are so, our human eyesight is so limited. They have a saying in sports called Monday morning quarterbacking, which means us fans love to talk about what they should have done on Monday morning. We're not strapped on a helmet or put on a knee pad. Not put at any time, but boy, we can tell the coaches what they did wrong on Monday morning. That old quarterback, man, he played sorry. Well, let's see how you do, buddy. Because I couldn't get the ball out of my hand before I got myself crushed on the ground. And when I did throw it, I couldn't throw it more than probably 7 yards. Thank you, Kevin. So, we're great about that. How many times do we Monday morning quarterback God? You know, we question what he's doing. We question why he's not doing it the way we want. We question, is he there? Are you working? I promise you, God is always working on our behalf. Church, keep the faith. Whatever you're battling today, it has not worked out, keep on. I know you may say, you don't understand, Pastor. I prayed over and over and over and over. Guess what you got to do? You just keep on praying over and over and over and over. You keep on believing over and over. Faith's not something we turn on and stop. It's something we walk in continually because challenges happen every day. And we have to trust God. So we got to believe in God first, and we got to believe in the message. We got to, people vote. Most time vote politically based on the message that they hear. They vote on the message that they hear. And that's what they go on. Well, this candidate says this, and that's what I support. So I vote for this one. This candidate says this, so I support that message, and I vote for that. If we don't believe the message of God, we don't believe this word, we don't believe in the message of grace, we don't believe in the message of mercy, forgiveness, redemption, if we can't believe what God says is true, then we can't walk in faith. We have to believe in God, and we have to believe in the message. There are so many that don't really believe. They know there's a God, they know there's a Bible, but they don't believe it really works. I know we can't see God maybe the way we want to see God. Some of you are like, you know, I know Melanie's sometimes I said, you know, I just wish I'm a very visual, I'm a simple person. I wish God just kind of show up, appearing some kind of vision, stand in front of me in the living room, you know, looking like he does in the Bible days, and tell me, Melanie, do this. But that don't happen most time. We have to just trust what he says. This word is real. Church, we are his people. We are a holy nation. We are peculiar people. We have been called out of darkness into light to show forth his praises. And everything's not going to work out the way we want it. Being a Christian is not an automatic, hey, everything's great. In fact, many times it's opposite, isn't it? We have many challenges as Christians. We're under attack a lot as Christians. The devil's always attacking us, and there's always that demonic warfare, even in your own home. You know, if you're raising kids and they don't follow your plan of faith, then you've got that warring going on inside your home because you're spiritual, maybe they're not. And there's always a battle happening there. Just keep the faith. Keep the faith to the end. Paul went to those gallows, church, with full understanding, I'm about to see God. I'm about to see God. You can't... If we realize we're about to see God, Margie, come on up. Is you here? Where are you at? Oh, right there. Sorry. If we knew for sure that we're going to see God, who can hurt us? Who can really hurt us, church? Nobody. Because the devil can't undo. He can't reverse what God's already did. He can't change Calvary. He can't change the shedding of the blood. He can't change the resurrection. He can't change the pouring of the Holy Spirit. He can't change the return of Christ. He can't change the eternal kingdom. He can't change any of that. It's done. It's a done deal. Faith has to be more than something that we say we have. It's got to be something that we live in. Faith cannot be measured by the good things God does. We got faith, and then the bad things that happen, we lose our faith. Believe in God completely, good and bad, thick and thin. Believe in the message through good and through bad. Lindra, I was sharing with the church. Y'all weren't here, I don't think, that Sunday. I was sharing. Oh, yeah, I didn't have your, I didn't hook your pedal up, sorry. I was sharing a story of how me and Bruce on an airplane when you had your accident. We were on an airplane, and I remember Bruce didn't know anything. He was calling the hospital, and they wasn't telling him much. Just he was, you know, he knew he was in real bad shape. He seemed pretty calm, actually. And I remember looking at him. I said, Bruce, I said, man, you seem calm. Cause I'm just thinking, Melanie knows how I am, man. I freak out. I mean, if the kids were little, I'd freak out. If they were 5 minutes late, oh God, where they at? And you know, if Melanie don't call me back, are you okay? Yes. Taking a shower. Can I take a shower, please? Okay, just checking. And Bruce was so calm. I said, Bruce, you seem calm. And here's what he told me. I never forget it. He looked at me. He said, Jane, I've said I believed in God all my life, trusted him. And you know what? It's now or never. If I can't trust God now, I can't trust him at all. I was like, wow. See, his faith gave him that calmness he needed and assurance that you will be all right. I never forget that. Easy to have faith that things are good. Bought me a new house. Woo, yay. Got me a new car. Woo, God's good. Got me a new job. Hallelujah. Then 3 days later, I got fired. Oh, heck. The same hallelujah that got you a job, the same hallelujah that can get you through getting fired. Don't measure God at all by what he does or doesn't do for you. We measure him by who he is. God is love. God is mercy. God is grace. God is power. God is righteousness. God is holy. God is perfect. God is all things. He is the great I am. I am your resurrection. I am your life. I am your truth. I am your healer. I am your deliverer. I am what you need me to be. Right now, God is what you need him to be. If you're at a breaking point or a threshold of saying, you know what? I don't know if I can keep moving forward. I don't know if I can really keep believing, preacher, because I just things that ain't happening. This is your morning to get it back. And say, Lord, I'm going to trust you for who you are. My life may be in shambles, but you're not. I may be disrupted, but you're not. I may be in a mess, but you're not. And I'm going to trust you. If you need your faith rekindled today, you're just at a place you need your faith rekindled. Lord, restore to me that faith that I have, that no matter what I see or hear, I'm going to trust you through my darkest times. I want to open the altar. I want you to come up here and stand. We're going to pray that our faith this morning, our faith in him is rekindled and restored today. If that's you, come stand up here. We'll pray. Go ahead and sing some.
I'll always believe in you.
Thank you, Jesus. Why don't y'all stand up with me, church?
Lord, I believe in you.
Sing along. If God's drawing you, come up here. Let's pray.
I'll always believe in you.
Thank you, Jesus.
Although I can't see you with my eyes, deep in my heart, your presence I find.
Lord, I believe.
I'll always believe in you. Although I can't see you with my eyes, deep in my heart, your presence I find. 'Cause Lord, I believe in you, and I'll keep my trust in you.
Thank you, Lord.
Oh, let this whole world say what they may. No one can take this joy away.
Anyone else want to come up? We're going to pray here in a minute. I want to open it up. Anyone wants to come up? And you're at a place of weakness. You need your faith rekindled, your strength rekindled. You're just at a place where you question sometimes, is God really working for you? And you just need that assurance that yes, He is, that He is for you and wants to be your Lord today. If you need that, walk up here. We're going to pray in just a minute as a church. Go ahead, Mark.
And I keep my trust in you. So let this whole world say what they may. No one can take this joy away. 'Cause Lord, although I can't see you with my eyes, deep in my heart, your love inside mine. 'Cause Lord, I believe in you, and I'll keep my trust in you. So let this whole world say what they may. No can take this joy away.
Let's pray, church. The key to our faith, Lord, is seeing you as who you are. That's the key. Open our eyes today. God, open our eyes to see who you are. You are faithful. You are all powerful. You are working for us, not against us. And as we see who you are and what you have done for our lives, we will see you in a whole new way. Lord, you're a God of mercy and a God of grace. You have kept us from many battles we have never encountered, we don't even know about, you have kept us from. You have kept us from danger. You have protected us. You have watched over us. You have got us to this moment in life, not by accident, but by a divine purpose. And I pray for our hearts to be strengthened today, our minds to be encouraged, not to look at what we're going through today, but to look at the promises we have in you every day. You are God, and there is no other. And Lord, I pray for a strengthening of hearts and minds and spirits, that we keep the faith to the very end. We don't give up. We don't surrender. We don't turn back, but we keep moving forward, seeking for that country, knowing we're pilgrims and strangers in this land, and there's a higher call you have for us. Encourage each heart in here to keep on the road they're on of faith. And we give you thanks and we give you praise. Restore our vision that we see things as you see them and not as we see them. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Y'all can be seated. I know that you are for me. I know that you are for me. I know that you will ever forsake me in my weakness. I know that you have come down, even if to ride upon my heart,
to remind me. I know that you are for me.
Yes, He is.
Oh, I know that you are for me.
Yes.
And I know that you will never forsake me in my weaknesses. And I know that you have come down, oh, even if to ride upon my heart, to remind me. And I know that you are for me.
Get that in your spirit today, church.
Yes, I know that you are for me.
Get that inside.
And I know that you will never forsake me in my weaknesses. And I know that you will come down.
Yes.
Oh, even if to write upon my heart to remind me.
Ushers, come on up this time.
You are for me. Yes, I know that you are for me. And I know that you will never forsake me in my weaknesses. And I know that you come down, oh, even if to write upon my heart.
Father, we pray with this offering right now as we give our seed unto you. That's also faith, that we're sowing a seed of faith to you, God. The church is simply the vehicle of sowing to you. And Lord, I pray as we sow our seed, we do it with a heart of gratitude, a heart of thanksgiving, a heart of obedience, a heart of servantship, knowing that every seed we sow in your house is making an eternal difference for the kingdom. Bless every heart and hand that gives. It's an honorable thing, God, to give into your kingdom. We thank you in the name of Jesus. Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Yes, I know that you are for me. And I know that you will never forsake me in my weaknesses. And I know that you will come down, oh, even if to write upon my heart to remind me. And I know that you are for me. Yes, I know that you are for me. And I know that you will never forsake me in my weaknesses. And I know that you will come down, oh, even if to write upon my heart to remind me. I know that you are for me. Yes, I know that you are for me. And I know that you will never forsake me in my weaknesses. And I know that you have come down, oh, even if to write upon my heart to remind me of who you are.
Yeah, beautiful message to go out of here with. To know God is for us. It's beautiful. Thank you all for being with us this morning. I appreciate your time and hope you heard from God something today. Hope you were encouraged by the message to realize. So good to see you, Carol, you and Destiny. Awesome to see y'all. Hope you were encouraged by the message to keep on, face a continual journey, and God is working for you. Don't forget, I need a couple of men. I mean, you women can help too, but I'd rather use men. The seesaw thing and the big ball thing. Those two pieces need to be moved over here, like behind this door in that area somewhere. That's it. Just move those two pieces. I would really appreciate it. The rest of it's been handled, so we're good. So if you can just help with that, just take, 5 minutes for y'all to do that real quick. And I appreciate it. All right. Y'all stand to your feet. Don't forget the blankets. If you have a blanket to bring, you bring it Wednesday night or Sunday. And we'll get those to folks that need those. We thank you, Lord, you are for us. We thank you, Jesus, that you love us. We thank you, Lord, what your word tells us, that we have a future the devil can't stop. Hallelujah for that. And I pray, help our hearts remember that and embrace that and look forward, God, to that great trumpet sound, that great return of when this flesh yields way to the glorification of the sons and daughters of the living God. Thank you for that moment in time that's going to be all of our destiny, Lord, at some point. As we go our separate ways, Lord, watch over us, protect us, and keep us. Let's be mindful of your word. Let's believe in the messenger as well as the message as we go forth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God